11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Oh man, one building goes up, one building comes down. You've seen New World Landing is in the process of being demolished. It just seems so, but I mean, you know, it's going to be a hotel. It's going to be great and wonderful. Just, you know, this is progress. I mean, things that go away and don't work. And man, when was the last time you were in New World Landing? I think the last time I was in there for a meeting of some kind. I mean, it's got to have been pre-COVID. Feels like maybe only because, you know, we didn't have meetings after that. And then meanwhile, Costco has finally got their approval from Escambia County to build here in Pensacola on 9 Mile, sort of the long hokey pokey, you know, your Costco's in, your Costco's out. You put your Costco in, you turn it all about. And eventually we're going to get one apparently up there on 9 Mile at Chemstrand. So that's good. They've got a, what? Are you celebrating? Are you happy about that?
Yeah, it's near us.
We do BJ's, we don't do Sam's Club, and I'm not a Costco person. And I would never have thought we'd do BJ's, but BJ's turned out to be really useful during the pandemic, frankly, because you could get, you know, milk and chicken at reasonable prices. Was like, it turned out to be a great blessing. Everybody's got their one, you know, or their two. I'm always baffled by the people who have multiple big store, like, club memberships. But I'm also the guy who will go buy the cheap thing here at Winn-Dixie and the cheap thing there at Publix and the cheap thing over here at Grocery Van. So, I mean, maybe that's how it works. But you're a Costco fan, or is it the location only?
It's the location plus the gas station.
Oh, yeah. The gas station's always a nice benefit, right? You know, the clubs always have their gas discount, which is, again, you know, if you're a BJ's or a Sam's Club or whatever, you certainly get that. What else do we have going on? The Perdido Key, you know, beach thing is kind of interesting to me. You know, it's Steve Strogelberger, you know, talking about kind of just seeing. My takeaway from this was, let's see how it plays out. This is based on the new law and the comes out of Walton County, having to do with customary use and who gets to decide whether the public has access to things that have this habit of being used by the public when they're really private property. And we've got this, you know, long-standing question, or sort of settled, I guess, now about the, you know, the footage near the water in Perdido Key that is available to the public. But there's just all of the squabbling over that, which, as a non-waterfront property owner myself who likes to be able to go to the water, I have to say it always seems a little bit weird how high the tensions are on this stuff. Then again, I get it. You don't want to see them on your property. And if you want to go to the beach, you want to go to the beach. So, I mean, it's fraught with confrontation. So we'll see how that all plays out. Oh, and then did you happen to see the story out of, is it Oklahoma, that is now implementing the Prager University test for teachers? What's being called the ideological purity test. It's not really what it is. But basically what they've got is they're giving them a test to make sure that they, you know, fit a certain idea of beliefs and knowledge that they want for their teachers. Oklahoma is requiring applicants for teaching jobs that come from California and New York. I guess it's not from everywhere, which is kind of funny, to pass an exam that the Republican legislature and top education officials say is designed to safeguard against radical leftist ideology. It's an intellectual purity test. It is their claim. Okay. Opponents are saying it's a MAGA loyalty test, right? I've never really thought of Dennis Prager. I haven't listened to Dennis in years. He's a delightful man, by the way. And I don't know if you ever listen to him. He is one of my very favorites. He's an extremely sharp guy. And he's every bit who he is on the air in real life. He's just a fantastic person. But, you know, very thoughtful person and, you know, great talk radio, legendary talk radio host. Anyway, and writer as well. But he's long had this idea of a university to educate people in values and history that's not, you know, it's conservative, that's, you know, supported by his religious views and by his view about the history of the country and all that. And I think PragerU does a lot of really good work. So what they've done is they've gone to a 50-question test that you have to pass. I don't know what passing is, 80%, let's say, 40 questions, right? And they've released 5 of the questions to the AP, and they will release all 50 of them eventually. But one of the problems is they found that a lot of the teachers in 7th to 12th grade weren't relying on the textbooks very much. They were just teaching, I guess, whatever they thought, and which is a problem in and of itself. But also, if they're teaching whatever they want, how do you know they're not teaching, you know, ridiculous stuff? So they're trying to get a grip on education in Oklahoma, much like we've been trying to get a grip on it here in the state of Florida. So the opponents say that this is this terrible MAGA loyalty test, that it's ideological purity. You're making sure that all your teachers aren't liberals or whatever. I'm going to read you the questions in just a minute, and then you can decide for yourself whether you think it's a terrible, horrible imposition upon them or something else. So PJ's got traffic on the fives first. PJ?
Mobile Highway seeing a little bit of a congestion building from Millview Road to about Blue Angel, so be aware of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, I was just talking to somebody the other day who, they live in our neighborhood. They have a large home, but they're older, you know, plus 80. And decided I don't want to mow my lawn anymore. I don't want to upkeep this big home anymore. I'd like to go to something like a condo where, you know, I can downsize, reduce possessions, make it easier when I do eventually pass away. But, you know, just thinking about the future, right? And, you know, sometimes people want a bigger home because they're getting kids. Some people want a smaller home because they're, you know, kid-free now, right? Or move to the beach, move to the country, whatever the case may be. If you're doing real estate, give Christina Leavenworth and her team a call, because they do so many transactions, like 165 last year, that they have experience, knowledge that can solve problems, avoid problems, facilitate the deal, make sure that you get the right price, the best price possible, selling and buying. And just that kind of expertise that only comes from experience. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. All right, back to the Oklahoma ideology test for new teachers that are coming from leftist states like New York and California. I would add Illinois, but there are others as well. So the hubbub is that these teachers, the argument is that they're screening their teachers for political purposes. And if that were what they were doing, you would catch my attention a little bit more. I don't think that's what they're doing. But here are the questions, and you decide for yourself whether these are inappropriate political screening questions. You ready? PJ, you're going to have to take this test.
Okay, go ahead.
You ready? Question number one. What are the first three words of the Constitution? Now, it's multiple choice, so they give you options, but do you know the first three words of the Constitution?
We hold these?
Real close. A, in God we trust. B, life, liberty, happiness. C, the United States. Or D, we the people.
We the people.
There you go. By Yes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, is from the Declaration of Independence. But famously still, at least you're in the vicinity. It's good. Number two. So is that an ideological test, if you know the first three words of the Constitution?
No.
As a teacher, you probably, I mean, seems bare bones minimum. Mm-hmm. Why is freedom of religion important to America's identity? Oh, see, here we go. A, it makes Christianity the national religion. B, it bans all forms of public worship. C, it limits religious teaching in public life. Or D, it protects religious choice from government control?
C.
I think their answer is D. It protects religious choice from government control, I'm guessing would be their answer, which I would agree with.
Well, but it also limits it.
Well, that's what we were talking about last hour.
It's very similar.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's my E that says C and D? And
see, I like two of these answers. Very good. Three. But either way, not not ideological, just about what the Constitution does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three. What are the two? This is a hard one.
Okay.
I'm setting you up for failure. No. What are the two? This is number three. What are the two parts of the U.S. Congress? No, I'm not going to make you answer. There's multiple choice.
House and Senate.
Yeah, exactly. House of Lords and Commons, Courts and Senate, Executive and Legislative. Ooh, a little difficult. And Senate and House of Representatives. Senate, you already said Senate and House of Representatives, right? So, four. How many U.S. senators are there? And remember, it's multiple choice. 435, 110, 50, or 100?
How many show up for work?
Ah, look at that.
100.
There you go. And five, why do some states have more representatives than others? A, they cover a larger geographic area. B, they have held statehood for a longer period. C, the number is determined by military presence.
Population.
Or D, thank you. Representations determined by population size. Yeah. If a teacher can't answer these questions, should they be teaching? I mean, these are pretty minimalistic, right? These are, I mean, not even as challenging as the ones you answer. They're sort of like citizenship test questions, right? They're sort of vaguely like, but they're easier than that, I think. Anyway, so we don't know what the other 45 are. They haven't been released publicly. I am guessing, based on the first five, that they're completely boring. That the kind of people who would object to this, there would be no test that would satisfy them. Now, there is an interesting question. 437-1620, would you like to see teachers take a test like this? I mean, it seems very straightforward to me. I mean, I would like to see everybody take a test like this to be able to vote. But, you know, that's a different question.
When you say teachers, what grade level?
It doesn't matter.
I think it does.
I mean, do you still want somebody teaching the third grade if they can't
pass
this test?
I mean, if it's a classroom teacher, elementary level, maybe high school social studies, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, there are certain kinds of subjects where maybe your geometry teacher does not know the Senate and the House. Frightening. But maybe we're so scarce on teachers that we have to make sure that, you know, we can include the ones who know sine and cosine as opposed to knowing, you know, Senate and House. But yet, I can see the argument for at lower levels, maybe we don't need them to know as much. But to me, this is so minimalistic that it's scary to imagine we have teachers that would be teaching that would have trouble with these questions. But yeah, okay, fair. Point taken. Now, what if it were actually a political ideology? So that's a weird one, but I'm thinking of something like, you know, a test where somebody would have to say, how many genders are there? Or how many sexes are there? You know, 2, 4, 523 at current count. You know, whatever the answer might be. I mean, that would be a political ideology test. I don't even know that that would be so problematic. Again, because I think that states ought to be shaping the education in their schools. I mean, look, if you don't like how the schools are teaching, then homeschool, you know, or put them in a private school. I think there should be lots of competition, lots of alternatives. But a state should have the right to decide what kind of education it delivers to its, you know, to its pupils. And if that means that they want people who represent certain viewpoints, like, you know, we want them to be anti-communist and pro-capitalist. I mean, that doesn't really bother me. I think that's what we do want from our teachers, because I don't really think we ought to have communists teaching, say, economics, or maybe even home ec if they teach it anymore. So but there'd be more of an argument. Like, you could have a more interesting conversation if that were the case. But something like this is so silly. 437-1620. Somebody says 100% agree with you on having a test to vote. Somebody else says, I'd like to see the woman who, I'm an AG. I'd like to see her take this test. Oh, that's funny. Let's see. Testing that is relevant to your subject expertise. I think that is perfectly reasonable. I have to do it for my job and I'm not a teacher. Somebody says, I hate to disagree with you. Oh, don't hate that. Celebrate disagreeing with me. That's fine. By the way, I don't say this often enough, but I do say it periodically. I have no problem if you disagree with me. You think I'm crazy. You think I'm wrong. You think I'm mostly right, but a little bit mistaken. No problem. In fact, text me. We can have the conversation. I can represent your text on the air. It never bothers me. I enjoy that. So, you know, there's no reason to hate disagreeing with me. But seeing the argument for having a lower standard is exactly why we're at where we're at. I don't follow number two from number one. I'm not sure. Maybe they're saying the test is too easy. Maybe that's what they're getting at. I'm not quite sure. Every American citizen should be able to pass this test. Back in the 1970s high school, we had political science. They taught the basics of government. They should ask those questions to kids when they're getting registered to vote. No, agree. I mean, there's a long conversation about who should be allowed to vote and whether there should be any requirements and whether something like property ownership or owing taxes or having knowledge is the right basis on which to exclude people from vote, or purely based on age and citizenship status or are eligible. It's a long conversation. Generally speaking, I prefer decisions to be made by smarter, more well-informed people. Therefore, I lean toward excluding some people from the vote who do not carry those characteristics. But the challenge is, of course, how do you set those standards? And then, look, why should people be excluded from voting if they don't have to suffer the consequences of the government formed by their votes? So, and there's a lot more to it, but those are kind of the two general camps, which is let anybody who suffers the results of the voting be able to vote. which would, of course, include things like children or, immigrants, right? I mean, if you really go in that direction. And then there's the other direction, which is we'd really prefer to have people who have a certain level of capability, call it elitist or aristocratic if you prefer. But, you know, those are the two strains when it comes to who you should vote, who should be allowed to vote. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Mobile Highway seeing congestion between 8 Mile Creek Road and Blue Angel. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One amazing example of strength is Esther. She famously proclaimed, "If I perish, I perish," as she prepared to go before the king on behalf of her persecuted people. She had such conviction that she was willing to lay down her own life for the sake of others. Her passion and purpose were deeply rooted in God's plan. Being strong in the Lord means finding His purpose for your life and pursuing it no matter the cost. Knowing God's plan for you doesn't have to be mystical. Actually, it should be biblical. Find your purpose in tenaciously telling others of God's love for them through the message of Christ's death and resurrection, which atones for our sins. Christian person, give your life to the faithful proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Cove by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone. In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ugh, I can actually hear you getting fatter.
Hey.
Good morning, 728 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, somebody made a text in 437-1620 about the Costco. It says once Costco goes in, traffic will never flow along 9 Mile ever again. Interesting observation. I think the six lanes are adequate. Chemstrand is going to be the issue. I mean, Chemstrand is one lane in each direction, both on the north side and the south side of 9 Mile. Chemstrand is a nice workaround for Palafox, and although they've done work on Chemstrand, or they're doing it right now. So I would say the observation is much more of a concern for Chemstrand than it is for 9 Mile, but we'll see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Russia's foreign minister says Moscow must be a part of any international talks on Ukrainian security following the war. European leaders have been discussing ways to protect Ukraine after the Russian invasion comes to an end. President Trump calling for security guarantees as a part of any deal to end the war. Mexican singer Ernesto Barajas has died. He was shot Tuesday in the outskirts of Guadalajara. He was the lead singer of a group called Enigma Norteño, which was apparently very popular with the Sinaloa drug cartel. And he had made some enemies apparently with rival drug cartels.
His songs are right here on my phone. They're not at all. So.
Some bad news for John. John Pickens, the most likely vehicle to be stolen in the U.S. is the Chevy Camaro. Is that still what he drives?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. The Camaro ZL1. New research released this week from the Highway Loss Data Institute shows the ZL1 is 39 times more commonly stolen than the national average for all vehicles. And the standard Camaro was stolen 13 times more than the average vehicle.
Well, that's why they drive it that way.
Drive it like you stole it.
That's right, because they drive it like they stole it.
I love how you make me repeat your jokes.
I make you mansplain my dad jokes. I've co-opted you completely into this process. I appreciate it. Oh, congratulations to our good friend Dave Merzen. I think congratulations for being selected as the new Century Town Administrator. Look, if anybody can fix it, we can.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The streets of D.C. are safer, and the numbers are backing up President Trump's decision to send in the National Guard on August 7th.
Total crime down 8%, total violent crime down 30%, total property crime down 6.09%. Robbery down 48% and homicides down 33%. Motor vehicle theft down 30%.
Fox's Peter Ducey. Vice President J.D. Vance speaking over protesters while visiting National Guard troops at Union Station in D.C.
You can actually bring law and order to communities. You've just got to have the political willpower to do it.
Vice President in Peachtree City, Georgia today touting tax cuts from the One Big Beautiful Act. Russia's President Putin questions the legitimacy of President Zelensky since Ukraine postponed elections over the war. He can't sign any document until it's resolved, according to the Russian foreign minister. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. It's looking like a gorgeous morning. We've got partly cloudy skies, 75 degrees here in Pensacola. Well, Pensacola police have arrested that man that they say was following young women around in downtown Pensacola on a sexual battery charge. The suspect identified yesterday afternoon as 17-year-old Tyree Dorch. And PPD says in one incident, Dorch allegedly entered a woman's vehicle without her consent while she was parked outside of a restaurant on Garden Street. He reportedly wanted her to drive him to another location. She refused and got out of the vehicle. Police say Dorch left the vehicle and fled the scene after that. PPD released the photo of the teenager yesterday in an attempt to identify him. He was arrested later that afternoon. Coastal Connections Academy, a statewide virtual K-5 charter school in Santa Rosa County, is closing September 1st. This is after receiving an F grade from the Department of Education. The Santa Rosa County School District terminated its contract due to concerns that the school's poor performance was dragging down the district's overall score. Despite efforts to improve, the school board members felt that it was too little too late. The closure is being attributed to both enrollment issues and unsatisfactory academic evaluations. A jury in Crestview convicting a Crestview couple on charges related to the distribution of fentanyl. 37-year-old Chantel Powell was convicted by a federal jury of making a false statement to a federal agent. Her husband, 40-year-old Kevin Powell, pleaded guilty to possession with intent to distribute fentanyl and firearm charges. Their convictions followed a search that uncovered fentanyl, drug packing materials, and firearms, including a ghost gun. Kevin faces up to 45 years in prison. Chantel faces a maximum of 5 years. Both of their sentencings are scheduled in November. Well, we are getting some reaction to the recent news that a conviction in the murder of former football standout L.D. Clarity was overturned by an appeals court judge last month. Sheriff Chip Simmons said he respectfully disagrees with the judge's decision as Dekavion Snowden was not denied a lawyer. He says he asked for one, then re-engaged interviewers on his own accord.
Once he asked for an attorney, and I didn't look at it, so I'm paraphrasing, he asked for an attorney. It's described to me as that the deputy closed her notebook up and walked out the door, and then he knocked on the door and re-engaged the conversation. That's why you have a suppression hearing. That's why we won the suppression hearing and in the circuit court.
And Simmons says that's been allowed for years, and there's case law to back it up. The state attorney's office now has to decide whether they want to retry Snowden or if they want to appeal the judge's decision. Well, there could be a redistricting fight in South Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis talking yesterday in Palm Beach County about doing a mid-decade redistricting. He believes Republicans could pick up more seats in South Florida. He appears to be targeting congressional districts held by Democrats Sheila Sheriffless McCormick and Jared Moskowitz. The current map was drawn up 3 years ago. It includes 28 districts, 20 held by Republicans. 735 at News Radio, 92.3. PJ's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Taking a look at the big board, we have some congestion building between Amal Creek Road and Blue Angel, so be aware of that. Then moving over to Tiger Point, US 98, we're seeing backups from, you're going westbound from Beechwood Lane to about Avalon. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms today. 40% chance of rain. Highs today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 40% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. Keeping those small rain chances around through the afternoon on Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 89. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 77 degrees across the area. Mostly sunny right now. The heat index at about 92 degrees and rising. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook says she will not resign over accusations of mortgage fraud leveled at her by a Trump housing official who has been critical of the central bank. Federal Housing Finance Agency Director Bill Pult urged the Department of Justice to launch a criminal investigation related to Cook's mortgage records. Google has launched its new family of smartphones. The company said the Pixel 10 series comes with new artificial intelligence features that lets users do multiple tasks at the same time. Google's Pixel phone launch comes weeks before Apple is expected to announce new iPhone models in September. Microsoft said it has scaled back some Chinese companies' access to its early warning system for cybersecurity vulnerabilities following speculation that Beijing was involved in a hacking campaign against the company's widely used SharePoint servers. Futures are slightly lower ahead of jobless data, which is set to drop in 10 minutes. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 16. That's Your Money Now.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. Three bold sandwiches and one happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for $10? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
What you want, what you gonna do? When Sheriff John Brown come for you? Good morning, 7:39 here on News, almost 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Looks like a nice morning. Going to be hot today. Yay. that's my. When we go out for a walk at night, we usually take our walk quite late, and you know, we get out and we both kind of, because it still has that effect. And she's like, month and a half. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us now by phone. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the only big story that I know about, you correct me if there's been another one, but was you guys had wanted this, I guess, teenager wanted for, you know, harassing women downtown. But, I mean, there was one particularly scary incident, right?
Yeah, well, at the time, we didn't know he was a teenager. This individual was seen on video following a female and rather closely in the downtown area, and then he saw another one, and he pivoted and started following her and ended up getting in her car and asking her to take him to another location, and she did the what she should have done was jump out of the car and go for help, and at that point, the individual left the vehicle also. So downtown Pensacola, I get asked about this often, you know, would you let your teens go downtown and that sort of thing. And the answer is absolutely 100% yes. It is very safe down there. Things are going to happen anywhere and everywhere. But there's a lot of surveillance video down there. And this is one of the reasons that we saw what we saw. And then the other part of this was when you combine the police, the news media, and the citizens, they all three came together to get this individual arrested very quickly.
So where was it? I mean, was it downtown, like on a street? Was it in a parking garage? Where did this get in the car thing happen? Because that's just so crazy to me that you go to get in your car and somebody else gets in the other side, right? It's, I mean, wild, but.
Yeah, it was outside. It was outside on the street. It wasn't okay. In a parking garage. But the thing about that is when you use your fob to get in a car, get in and immediately lock your doors. Most vehicles now won't lock until you start it and put it in drive. So it's something that you always want to do. And the biggest thing, Andrew, is especially for the young ladies out there, is to be aware of your surroundings. Make eye contact with people who are walking near you and take those earbuds out so you can hear.
Oh, amen to all of that. Absolutely amen to all that. So he was like trail one, turn and trail another, and just, and the theory was trying to find a victim or a whatever, right? Because do we know exactly what he was intending other than trying to get a ride?
Well, we don't know exactly what it was, but from what it looked like, he was just intending on making contact with a female victim, and he didn't care who. So
yeah.
we don't know where it would have gone from there, and thank God we don't know. But the best part about it is that he's off the street.
Yeah, thank goodness. And as you say, good collaboration between PPD getting the information out, the surveillance that was available, and then also, you know, people posting and talking about it and sharing it, and that's why you wound up finding him. That's great. Hey, you know, I had wanted to ask you, we talked extensively about this yesterday, this woman who, it's still hilarious to me.
I'm an AG.
This woman who was getting trespassed away from a restaurant and was drunk and was claiming to be an AG and telling the police officer to turn off his body camera because they have to turn it off. And, you know, I particularly love the cop's response.
I'm an AG.
Good for you. I don't give a Let's go.
Good for you. So you've seen this video, and I wanted to ask you, because, you know, you're an actual cop and I just play one on the radio. Did you see anything in this video that concerned you? Did you see the cops being, I don't know, too aggressive, too restrained, just right like a Goldilocks? What did you see?
A Goldilocks. I mean, this look, every officer is going to face this at some point about who this person supposedly is, whether what their job is, who they are in the community. We're all going to hear that. And at that point, it doesn't matter. When you're acting up like she was and her friend was, they were being asked to leave a restaurant and they wouldn't. All you've got to do is leave. And the police won't even get called. And when we do show up, all you have to do is leave. We're always going to give you the opportunity to leave. And when you don't and you start throwing names and who you are and things like that, that is going to work against you every time. So, we just don't care. We've got a job to do. And if you're going to act up like that, then you're forcing our hand. You're forcing us to do the job. And those ladies were taken into custody because they just simply wouldn't leave. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, they had a dozen off-ramps, and they just couldn't bring themselves to take any of them. And so eventually they have to get, you know, handcuffed and thrown in the back of the cruiser, which was, I thought, the right response at that point. There was a part of that video that she was so obsessed with the idea that just by requesting it, she could make the cop turn off his body camera video. True, not true?
Not true. There's nobody's going to tell us to turn the body cam off. That's not going to happen.
And the only time
it's policy.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's policy, and the officer could face disciplinary action if he did do that. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. They're not going to turn off. The officer knows when he can and cannot turn that thing off. And the only other exception to that is if the battery dies, or if they're in a place where you know, tactical information is being discussed, or there's something very sensitive that would be on camera.
And my understanding is also sometimes when you're in like situations where there might be minors or medical things that it might also be turned off in those situations. Is that right?
Well, most of the time they're probably going to keep that rolling, but that's information that will never be released.
Okay, so it's going to be redacted out. If it does get recorded, it's redacted out for sure.
Right.
Okay, very good. I will say the one other part of that conversation that I always think of how cops react, and you guys have to put up with an awful lot, and that's your job. I mean, your job is to put up with an awful lot, but I'm always amazed at how police can be so unresponsive to things like when she says,
"Hey, you're gonna regret this.
Yeah.
You're gonna regret it. I'm an agent."
I love that part because she gets the door, you know, closed on her halfway through saying an agent, but you're gonna regret this. You're gonna regret this. Because what, threatening a police officer is gonna improve your odds of getting out of here safely?
Yeah, that's, again, most of the time, the way people act and what they say is working against them. It's not helping out at all. And it's just making their case worse when it goes to court. By that time, obviously, they've sobered up and had time to think about it. And they know a judge and a jury and their bosses, in this case,
right,
are going to see that video. And it's going to do nothing but work against them. So that's why, you know, we don't ever have a problem with somebody taking their phone out and using the video feature on us to record everything, because we're doing it ourselves.
We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. Mike, hang on for just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
US 98 westbound at Tiger Point. Traffic is moving slowly from above Beachwood to Avalon. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. We always like to end on a cop myth or a did you know. I've got one for you this week. We've all seen this a bajillion times, and anytime there's an action movie, basically, and the cops are involved, somebody makes a phone call, the line is being tapped or traced, or they make it to the police headquarters, and something along the lines of, it's been 23 seconds, and they hang up. Oh, it's too fast. I didn't get a trace, because, you know, the bad guys always know exactly what the technological parameters are. Is there such a thing as it was too fast for you to get a trace? Is it just different depending on the type of call? What's your ability? Because I know, like, if you make a 911 call, the cops are coming to your house because it might be a bad thing happen. So it's pretty quick to identify some of these things, certainly with the landline. So you tell me, what are the kind of the parameters here?
Yeah, it sure would have worked out better for the bad guy if he would have, you know, he knows he's got to hang up before 24 seconds. Yeah, that's totally false. So it depends on a few factors. It depends on whether we had that line, quote, tapped in the first place, whether, you know, we've already got a warrant, we've already got an agreement with the carrier. But it still matters on what they're using. Is it a cell phone, a satellite phone, a landline? There's a lot of factors in how long it takes. But so it can go from a matter of seconds or minutes to just very few seconds to find out where that individual is. So it's, to give you a straight answer, I can't do, because there's a lot of factors there.
But you do have it doesn't take long. If somebody's in peril, it doesn't take very long. You can find them through whatever mechanism is available. But, you know, bad guys who are counting on the 24-second cutoff or whatever made-up invented number, where does it come from? Was there ever a time where there was some, I don't know, police industry standard of it being a certain amount of time?
Look, all I can figure on that question is that the movie making people, the directors, the producers, they did not have an officer on set when they were filming this or when they were writing it. It's just, I don't know where it came from or how that happened, but yeah, it's that's a good question. I don't have an answer.
And like so many other things, whenever we're watching cop movies, it's, how did they come up with that? Well, obviously they don't have any officers consulting them. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging my questions. I appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, they make me nervous, but I look forward to it. Thank you.
You bet. 749 News Radio 92.3. If you have a restaurant and you want to put out a 10-second ad on or a 30-second ad on Instagram, you're going to want video. Maybe you want a shot of walking through the restaurant or, you know, in like a drone going through the restaurant and seeing what's going on. That's something that Pelican drones can do for you. You have a subdivision that you're building and you'd like to promote that online or even on your website. And so you want some aerial shots and then some down at ground level shots and maybe progress updates. That's something that Pelican drones can do for you. You just want to, I don't know, explain what your business is to people. Video production of any kind, whether it's using drones or not, Pelican Drones does that. You can buy them by the hour. You can buy them by the half day, by the day. When they're done, you own the product, so you own all the raw material. It's not like you got to go back to them to get them to produce it again. They have all kinds of tools that they can use to help you. And anything from figuring out what a home looked like before the storm, you know, getting a good record of that, or real estate deals, or, I mean, seriously, anything where you would use video, they are your service. Locally owned and operated Pelican Drones, pelicandrones.com.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking.
Part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
I hate to say I told you so.
Well, now don't lose your head, son. We still got a lot of boogieing to do.
Now put the pedal to the metal. I'm 10-10 on the side.
By sure, by sure. Me and Fred here, we got your back door, ain't we, Fred?
Oh, man. I recently I have been on a weird old Burt Reynolds movies kick. I don't know. We watched Smokey and the Bandit. I'm in the middle of watching Cannonball Run right now, which is, God, I had forgotten how much fun Cannonball Run is with Jackie Chan and Roger Moore and Dom DeLuise and, God, I mean, the Rat Pack. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And, yes, my early love of Lamborghinis and those who drive them. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you very much. Texas Governor Greg Abbott praising Republican lawmakers for passing a plan to redraw congressional maps. In a statement last night, Abbott said he plans to sign the bill when it gets to his desk. The new congressional maps would give Republicans five more seats in the U.S. House. A California parole board today will be considering the fate of the Menendez brothers, Eric and Lyle. They've spent the last 30 years in prison for the murders of their parents in 1989. They were resentenced earlier this year to allow for the possibility of parole. And apparently hundreds of employees at the Department of Health and Human Services want Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to stop spreading misinformation. 750 people signed a letter sent to HHS Secretary Wednesday morning that claimed the recent shooting at the CDC headquarters in Atlanta was driven by things that Kennedy has said, apparently.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:54, News Radio 92.3. Oh, interesting story having to do with parents and their responsibility for what their kids do wrong. In New Jersey, they are, I guess, expanding. I mean, there's a new law. I think it's actually been in place that will punish parents for repeat offenses by their kids. There's apparently some kind of an annual, I'm not from New Jersey, I need Jenna Barr in here to explain all this to me, but apparently in New Jersey there's some kind of like an annual celebration of, I don't know, the kids all get together and they have a party and it's sometimes it leads to trouble. Well, this past year there had been a lot of trouble at this incident, at this event, and, you know, graffiti and things broken, vandalism, all that kind of stuff. And so people were clamoring for some kind of, you know, parental responsibility. And so they passed this law, passed on July 28th. It was the June of 24 Gloucester Township Day Festival. 500 miners, called a mob, flooded the grounds and sparked brawls and fled to a shopping center and attempted to destroy a grocery store. 11 people, including 9 teens, were arrested. 3 police officers injured, so pretty big deal. And so they passed this law, the Minors and Parent Responsibility Act, where parents can be fined $2,000 or spend $90 in jail if their kids are repeatedly convicted of various crimes. 28 different crimes, from destruction of playground equipment. It's an oddly specific act. Immorality, loitering, assault, and drug dealing. We'll come back and talk about this in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still looking at US 98 westbound at Tiger Point. Traffic is moving slow from about Kitty Hawk Drive to Avalon. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back
to
you.
Thanks, PJ. So what do you think about this law? Would you like a law that held parents more accountable for the recidivism of their kids? One person says, if it scares parents into actually parenting their kids, then I'm all for it. A thought, because as a parent, right, there's one part of me that thinks, yeah, I mean, what forces parents to, you know, do the job, bro? On the other hand, you know, sometimes good parents produce, you know, unruly kids. It does happen. You may have heard of Adam and Eve and their kids. You know, one killed another. And, you know, so even decent parents, you know, doesn't always turn out right. But still, my thought was, if you're going to punish parents for the misbehavior of kids, it seems like you're almost empowering the most misbehaving of kids with a threat they can follow through on. Oh, you're going to do that to me? Well, guess what I'm going to do to you. And, you know, like if a kid can get in trouble repeatedly, then they can cause their parents to get in trouble. But I think that would require them to get convicted multiple times. So it's probably not that much of a risk. But anyway, I generally like it. Generally, but I do have specific concerns. So I'd be curious to know if it's going to, you know, if it's going to wind up making something different in this particular case. 437-1620. Oh, another interesting case going on in Florida. You know, a long time ago, the legislature passed these rules that preempted gun restrictions to the state. So local cities, counties cannot restrict your access to firearms because that's not something that, you know, individual cities or counties should be doing. But the law made an exemption for zoning because you can zone in such a way that might restrict the ability to open a gun store. Well, the question, though, is whether the restriction against a gun store being able to be in a certain zoning category is used to control the zoning of the area or is used to restrict access to guns. And you can kind of see how it could be either, right? You know, and typically gun stores get classified. In this particular case, this is Dania Beach, I think is how you say it. If I'm saying it wrong, please correct me. It's not one I'm familiar with here in Florida. But Florida Custom Guns, a gun shop that does business as Affluent Arms, and Florida Carry filed a lawsuit after code enforcement cited the shop for operating in a zoning district where that business is prohibited. Gun shops are allowed into other zoning districts reserved for businesses like thrift shops, liquor stores, and warehouses. The lawsuit alleges that the city approved the gun shop zoning restrictions in order to restrict or prevent sale of firearms, violating the state law that preempts the restriction on the sale of firearms to the state. So the city is saying, well, we don't allow other kinds of businesses like check cashing stores, pawn shops, flea markets, alcohol and drug treatment facilities, funeral homes, and lumber stores in the zoning. And we also don't allow, you know, we have prohibitions and not just on gun stores. What's interesting about this case is the appeals court did not decide the case. They said it needs to go back to the jury, who can themselves decide whether the evidence shows that the city was doing it just to control the zone or to actually attack firearms in order to prevent the sale of firearms. So just kind of an interesting one. What category do you think guns ought to be in? Is it tattoo shops and strip clubs
local
or something
talk
else?
In the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It says F nothing, we're changing it all. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky's reaction to another Russian barrage overnight. More than 500 drones, dozens of missiles launched into Ukraine as Russia warns against security guarantees the U.S. and Europe are working on as part of any possible peace agreement. Fox's Peter Ducey's at the White House.
Over the last couple days, our heads were spinning. We had Putin in the U.S., Zelensky in the U.S., all these European leaders in the U.S., all to talk about the end of the war in Ukraine. It felt Like, there was a lot of momentum to get this done really, really quickly, but that momentum appears to have slowed down, although that is something the vice president says won't be the case for long.
You know, we shouldn't say that they can't sit down until you've figured out every little detail. Sometimes them sitting down is what facilitates figuring out those details.
And that was Vice President Vance on Fox after he went out and visited some National Guard troops out patrolling Washington in a D.C. crime crackdown that some residents are angry about. The vice president called them crazy protesters.
We want our people to be able to enjoy our beautiful cities.
The Trump administration says in the last week there have been 550 arrests, though city leaders keep insisting that the D.C. was already safer, with police statistics that President Trump calls fake showing violent crime down this year and last year. The Texas State Senate may join the House today, approving a congressional redistricting. Democrats left the state for 2 weeks to block.
This part of the fight is over. But it is merely the first chapter.
Democratic State Rep Gene Wu says they'll file lawsuits to block the new map.